Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101? You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. We got a solo show. It is July the 4th. Happy Independence Day to everybody out there that's celebrating, that is part of the homeland. And to everybody else out there, man, be safe. Look at Dave. Yeah, I don't want no more backing up Terry videos. You know what I'm talking about? Y'all be safe out there. Have a good time. Enjoy the fireworks, all that fun stuff. Make sure you keep your dogs locked up. And safe. We lost our dog a couple years ago on July 4th. It took, 6 hours of looking for it. And we finally found it. Thank God. Wife would have left me. But anyway, y'all be safe. Have a good day. Celebrate the greatness that is July 4th. Eat some great food. I know I will be. So want to say thank you to everybody for coming out. Appreciate all the hashtag CCs. Raphael, JP, appreciate you guys. Tommy, this is awesome, man. You guys are the best. And Michelle, appreciate you guys. Now, today, solo show, and I like to go into these dark tunnels, whatever, it's just me, and just kind of see what we could get out. And it's always fun whenever it's inspired by a question or some comments or something like that. And, today's episode comes from a good friend, Brian W., the man, the myth, the legend, who's helped us with a lot of 49ers projects in the past. He started off, here's his question, and then I'm going to expand it because I'm me. It's what it is. Brian says this: which of the day three picks from this year has the best chance to be a legitimate difference maker? Now, here's how I wanted to attack this question. Okay. First, I was like, all right, let's go back. Let's look at the 2022 draft class and let's just look at snap counts. Okay. Let's go through, figure out how much all of the rookies last year played, why they played, what they played, because context is always important, and try to see there, okay? So that's where I started. Then I went to this year's rookie class and went depth chart hunting, tried to figure out, okay, what's the immediate path to playing time early and after the bye week, because I do think that the season is divided in half, and I think that kind of changes things. So for a lot of these rookies, I'm going to give two answers. I know the immediate yes, no, hot, cold, whatever answer, the clickbait or, catchy title. That's not who we are. That's not what we're going to do. So I want to give as nuanced a take as possible, because I think that's just the reality of the situation in today's NFL, especially with the 49ers. And then we tried to buttress, or at least I tried to, whether I did that successfully or not, buttress that with where each one of the rookies landed on our 2024 countdown. And I think there were a couple instances where maybe we got it wrong. And there were a couple of instances where it's like, yeah, I think we got it right here. We'll detail those. So that's the journey of today's episode. And then, of course, we're going to end the second half. Nostalgia, nostalgia, nostalgia. July 4th. There's not a better day for it. We're going to be going over who is the best number 40 in 49ers history. Man, we've done 40 of these nostalgia episodes, which is a lot of fun. Again, it's one of those things where it's like, I know I enjoy this more than others, but hopefully some get a little bit of education, reminder, and flashback to the past just to respect and appreciate where we came from. Speaking of respect, appreciate you, Stefan. What's up, John? We got Josh in the house. He's going, I'm going Renardo Green. Yeah, he's a big Renardo guy. Chris, a Niners rookie had a snap last year? Yeah, it's not a lot. Two 49ers rookies had zero defensive or offensive snaps. Now, for today's episode, and I think this is important, I'm not talking special teams. This is offense, defense only. So I didn't do any Jake Moody research. I didn't do special teams research, even though I know that's the pathway for how these players will find their way on the 53-man roster. This is offense, defense kind of focused episode. What's up, 49ers throwback in the house? Love it, man. That dude's the absolute best. So here we go. Let's step back first. Let's look at last year's draft class. Okay, we'll go bottom up. Combined, the entire draft class, 967 snaps combined, offense and defense. No special teams, that's just offense and defense. Hey, what's up, Jax? Not a lot, whatever you consider. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 draft picks last year, not counting Jake Moody. He's a special teams player only, this offense, defense. Jalen Graham, zero defensive snaps. Zero in the regular season. None. Cameron Latu, zero. He was on IR all year. Yeah, not good. What's up, Flynn? He says, haven't caught a live show in a while. Man, glad you're here now, my friend. Robert Beal came in with 54 snaps. That's Josh's guy. I think he's in line for a much bigger role this year. Even got snaps in the Super Bowl. That's huge. Braden Willis, 56 offensive snaps. Again, could he be in line for a bigger role? I don't know. Eric Saubert and, you know, the Logan Thomas, you know, bringing them in kind of keeps him where he was, but did get snaps in the Super Bowl. He's an injury away from being tight end three, I think. D. Winner, 62 snaps, the Will linebacker, and Fred Warner came out and said this year, you know, had the best OTAs in minicamp of any player on the team. Talk about that Drake Greenlaw injury. Oren Burks is gone. He's got a path to play in time this year. Daryl Luter Jr., 64 snaps. Not a lot, not a lot. Ronnie Bell, he had the second most snaps of any rookie last year, 185 snaps. Now, go back and figure out why. Danny Gray got hurt. He took his spot. Now he's in the backup role. And a lot of people forget this. Ayuk got hurt. I think it was week 3. And he missed all of week 4. Ronnie Bell got all those snaps. That was 58. So over, you know, one third of his snaps came in those two games. The rest of the time was a rotational guy. Anytime Ayuk needed a breather, Ronnie Bell got those snaps. So 185 total. And then Jair Brown. You know, he was the first draft pick last year, bell of the ball. Still didn't play too much. He only had 27 snaps defensively before Hufanga got hurt. When Hufanga tore his ACL, Brown stepped in, never looked back. Got an interception in the Super Bowl and, you know, 546 snaps. But again, 27 of those were before the Hufanga injury. So, as we continue through this and we go through this rookie class, understand. Niners don't like to play rookies unless they have to, even if they're great. Jair Brown was great. Great. Couldn't sniff the field. Could not sniff the field until that Hufanga injury. So I love the draft more than anybody. I truly do believe that. Like, it's my, I was, so I'm going through and doing taxes now. I always defer to the summer. And then, you know, whenever I get a little bit of time, like now, it's been, you know, I spread it out over a week or two. It takes a long time. But whenever I do that, I always like, I go till I get frustrated. And then I have something up on YouTube. And then I watch that. Yesterday was Ricky Pearsall High School highlights. That's what I was going through. Like taxes and Ricky Pearsall high school tape. Found the old Huddle account and went through. Some of you guys know what's going on there. And just watched Ricky Pearsall. And it was a blast. It was so fun. And so then once I'd start smiling again, then I would pause it and I'd go back to taxes. This is fitting on July 4th until I was sad. And then I'd pause that. And then I'd go watch highlights till I smiled. It was just back and forth. You know, it's the yin and the yang. It's balance in all things. Thanos. All right, here we go. Let's talk now. Let's project forward. Let's go with the rookies. And shoot, I was talking about Pearsall. I was going to go last draft pick up, but I'm talking Ricky Pearsall. Let's stick with Ricky Pearsall. He came in number 23. Little spoiler alert. He came in number 23 on our 49ers rush countdown. Oh, what's up? Got a question here from Big Daddy Niners. What's up, John? When are you and Breezy doing another podcast? Every Tuesday. Me and Breezy, every Tuesday, we're doing a show. So next Tuesday, I'm going on a mini vacation on Wednesday. But, you know, we schedule that purposefully so the John and Wayne show can take place. That's every Tuesday. We just recorded one. If you missed it, it's called Grading Shanahan. Great show on Tuesday. You can go check that out on my channel. Yeah, every Tuesday, John and Wayne. Ricky Pearsall came in 23 on our 49ers roster countdown. If you haven't caught that series, please go check it out on our YouTube channel, and it's on our podcast feed. Man, so fun. We're still away. I think we're at like 50. I think I recorded 53 earlier today, maybe 52. So we're still not even halfway. It's going to be a long month, but it's going to be a good month. And man, as I was watching Pearsall's tape, I watched all the way from his high school, watched his Arizona tape, watched his Florida tape. This dude has played with some quarterbacks now. Jaden Daniels, at Arizona State. Then he had Anthony Richardson at Florida. The guy he had last year was a joke. Now he's got Brock Purdy. Like, this dude is going to be playing with three premier quarterbacks in a very short period of time. But a couple things stood out. You know, this isn't in my notes. This is just what I watched yesterday. His best tape was at the Senior Bowl. His best tape from high school, Arizona State, Florida, good quarterback, bad quarterback, Senior Bowl, that's his best tape. And again, the whole time I'm watching, I watched all of his highlights. I think it had 7 or 8 years, a couple years of high school. I think it was 3 years at Arizona, 2 years at Florida. So yeah, that's 7 years. I went through it again. I was watching highlights and whatever else. Obviously, I watched the game tape as well, but 7 years of highlights. And in the back of my mind, because this is always a thing for me, does Ricky Pearsall stack vertically? The answer is no, until the first time I saw it. Wasn't even in high school. And again, stacking vertical, you're lined up as an outside wide receiver. You blow past the corner with speed or whatever, and you leave them in the dust, and then you catch the ball. He couldn't do it. I never saw it. Didn't see it in high school. Didn't see it at Arizona State. Didn't see it at Florida. Did see it at the Senior Bowl a few times. Now, there are a few times where he got vertical on a corner, but the corner caught up to him. And then he had an awesome contested catch, you know, in the end zone or something like that. That's great. But, like, this idea of burning a corner, stacking a corner, catching it, and taking it to the house with the corner, like, leaving the corner behind him, never saw it. Saw some slot fades. That's different. But, you know, I saw right here, Flynn says, you know, what are his flaws? Man, can't stack vertical. But did do it a few times at the Senior Bowl. What is Kyle Shanahan's favorite thing in the world? He wants to see how pros do against other pros. That's where he fell in love with Debo. That's where he fell in love with Dante. No, Dante Johnson was before him. Lots of other guys. You know, Senior Bowl has been very, very important. Dominique Pooney, like, It's huge. So that was something that, you know, was not in my write-up, but his best tape was at the Senior Bowl, and that was fun. His favorite routes, the drag route. Oh, man, he runs that to perfection everywhere. Just get that dude. He finds space really, really well. I like Ricky Pearsall. Now, he's going to get worked into the rotation no matter what. Ricky Pearsall is playing. He got a first-round pick. He's playing. 5 to 10 snaps a game early on. And again, there's pre-bye week, post-bye week. First half season, second half of the season. They change everything. I think 5 to 10 snaps a game early, just wide receiver, not focusing on special teams right now, probably 8 to 15 late. Now, as with any 49ers rookie, if there is an injury to any wide receiver, any, Debo, Ayuk, Jennings, this dude's a starter from that point forward. Simple.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Well, actress Katherine Heigl, who saved over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says they've done a lot of research and they've come up with the idea, you want to help dogs' health, you got to help their food. So they've decided to come together and create something called Superfood Complete. It's made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Now, I got to be honest with you, Lucy, our French bulldog, she's a picky eater. A lot of times we can't get her to eat very often. It's just the way she is. She's spoiled. It's what it is. We sprinkled just a little bit of Badlands Ranch on our old food just to kind of mix before we made the transition. That's not an issue any longer. She goes right for it. She doesn't wait. She enjoys it. The health benefits, all those different things are there just because it's healthier food. So if you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/49ers. That's BadlandsRanch.com/49ers. Get 50% off your regular priced order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. BadlandsRanch.com/49ers and get your dog that food today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Menards has the best in-stock selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber. All easy to load in our drive-thru lumber yard. Choose from our huge inventory of boards, decking, fencing, lumber, and timbers to build your project to last. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our deck and fence design programs at Menards. Number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers, according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Save big money at Menards.
Now, I don't think, you know, I asked Matt Barrows, you know, where is he lining up predominantly? And they said he's lining up a lot of different wide receiver spots. He's playing inside and outside. So that's huge. I think initially I want him behind Debo. And whenever Debo gets tired or gets a rush attempt or end around or a jet sweep, Debo always comes out. Like, you look at the snaps, Debo, not that he misses time, but Debo's got to come out of the game consistently. He just has to because of the way he plays. So I think that's immediately Ricky Pearsall gets 5 to 10 snaps there. And then again, if an injury, 8 to 15 snaps. I think that's kind of where it goes. Any wide receiver injury, this dude's getting starter snaps. That's just what it is. Right here, Leon Sandcastle. Love the fro. Says, John, do you think there's something to be said about the Niners drafting older, more experienced players? Yeah, people always put out there, Shanahan stubborn, refuses to learn, refuses to change. I think that's could not be more incorrect. There are certain things that Shanahan won't give up on, sure. But they have changed the way that they do draft. They have learned. There's the Reuben Foster off-the-field stuff. They haven't touched a player with off-the-field issues since Reuben Foster was cut from the team. Haven't touched it. Then there's Javon Kinlaw. Okay? No more injured players. Then there's Trey Lance. No more inexperienced players. And what are the Niners doing? You know, how much of this is Lynch? How much is this Shanahan? Whatever. I'm telling you right now, they are removing as many question marks as they can. They draft smart players. They draft experienced players. They draft versatile players. And again, all of those can be traced back to Reuben Foster character, Javon Kinlaw health, Trey Lance experience. Now, what's the thing? Fool me once, right? Shame on you. Fool me twice. Shame on me. I should have done the George W. one, man. Hey, I missed the July 4th. I forget how the saying goes, but you're not going to fool me again. but like that's who Shanahan is. Like whenever he gets burned, that dude's got a memory. Now, Leon goes on to say, do you think Brock's success coming in the NFL with experience that shifted the draft? Yeah, I think Trey Lance and Brock Purdy compounded. Each position's different. But yeah, I mean, I think there's two sides to that coin. One side's Trey Lance. The other side is Brock Purdy. I think you're onto something there, and I like that. And so the 49ers have changed just the way that they scout and adapt players. And that's a beautiful thing. It really is. Now, are they done adapting? Are they just always going to do this? I don't think so. But a lot of it probably also has to do with championship window is wide freaking open. Wide open. And so because of that, yeah, like you got to realize you got to capitalize on some of these. Now, I'm always trying to find a way to get my favorite clips into the show. But here's one. When Christian McCaffrey was asked, how long is the 49ers championship window open?
I don't know. I know we got a window this year. That's all I know. So I'm focused on this year and taking it, you know, one day at a time, 1 week at a time, 1 year at a time.
It's open right now, baby. It's open right now, baby. That's just what it is. And so with it being open, you got to take care of that. How do you take care of that? You get more experienced players that can contribute early if you need them to. The Niners never do get them to contribute early. It's what it is. So that's Ricky Pearsall. Let's go to Renardo Green. Like this kid. Yeah, Josh right here. I'm going Renardo Green. That's his dude. Renardo. That was a Charvarius Ward, a little reference point there. Now, them moving Renardo Green inside, outside, I think hurts his chances of playing early. I don't like that. In fact, it bothers me. I just want this dude sitting. I really do. I just want him sitting. That's it. That's all I want from him. But that's all right. I think his best path to playing time is at the nickel spot, but they want Isaac Yiadom to be the number three outside corner, kick Demo inside. So I think that's going to happen early. So if he wants starter snaps, which I think he has the clearest path, even clearer than like Ricky Pearsall's got to beat Juwan Jennings, who just got an extension. You got to beat Debo, not doing that. Got to beat Ayuk, not doing that. He's not beating those guys. He's not. I hope he will, but in 1 year, even if he's on par with them, they're going to stay with the vet. Renardo Green's got to beat Isaac Yiadom. You see the difference? He's got to beat Yiadom. He's got to beat Ambry Thomas. He's not competing with Debo and Juwan Jennings. He's competing with Isaac Yiadom, who the Niners love. And I'm not trying to throw shade, but there's a difference between one of the top paid wide receivers or one of the best blockers in the NFL to Isaac Yiadom, who's good, and I think he will be the starter early, but that's all he's got to do. To become a starter, Renardo Green's got to beat Isaac Yiadom. It's very simple, but I think he'll rotate at nickel. Now, and here's what's crazy. He has to beat Isaac Yiadom, but I don't think he's going to play Isaac Yiadom's spot. Isaac Yiadom's outside. Renardo Green's both, but I think they want Renardo Green inside. I think that's eventually where he's going to go. So, you know, if I look at it, I think 3 to 6 snaps a game. You know, last year the Niners DBs started rotating series where they would get these young pups in for like one series a game, and I loved it. I don't know how much of that was Steve Wilks or Daniel Bullocks or Nick Sorensen. I don't know. They've never done that in the past, so part of me says it's probably a Wilks thing. But, man, I hope they continue doing that, where once you get into week 2 or 3, man, you just throw one series. You remember they put Jason Verrett out there, and that was just not good. Gave up that touchdown, whatever else. But, like, they also did that with Jair Brown, and that paid huge dividends. They did it with Darryl Luter Jr. We'll see if that pays dividends. So, if they continue doing that, man, get Renardo Green a series every other game early on until he proves he can belong and provides more upside than Isaac Yiadom. Worst case is Renardo Green gets, you know, work. If any of the top three corners get hurt, Renardo Green's out there. Demo gets hurt, he's out there. He's a starter. Charvarius Ward gets hurt, he's a starter. Isaac Yiadom gets hurt, he's a starter. Like, he has such a close path to playing time. And we had him 26 on the countdown. Look at Vince. What's up, man? He says, John Chapman, on my birthday. Let's go. Happy birthday, brother. He says, Green definitely going to see the field in the second half of the season. I think so, too. I think so, too. And happy birthday, Vince. You are freaking awesome, man. Right here, Mr. Martinez, he says, it's not necessary for Pearsall, I think he's talking about, to beat out the other wide receivers. It's Pearsall needs to wow Shanahan enough to get more plays with him being a target. Yeah, I think so. And I think you script some plays. I think Kyle's the perfect coach for him. Look, man, we're going to get you in on the third quarter. We're going to run an end around with you. We're going to get you in on this part. We're going to run a slot fade with you. We're going to, like, I think as an offensive play caller, you could dictate much more than defense or whatever else. Like, look, I've got a plan for you. And so I like that. I think that is very, very key. And there's snaps to be had. We talked about Ronnie Bell got 185 snaps last year. Yeah, Renardo Green's going to get more. He's going to get more. But it may be like, you know, later in the year, you tell Debo, look, dude, you're playing 4 plays. He's playing 2 plays. Because Debo has to have breaks, so build it in. And you tell Debo, look, dude, you're at your best when you go all out, wreck it, Ralph, destroy whatever. Like, give me 4 hard plays, and then we're going to let the rookie get 2. Something along those lines. Because, again, Debo needs time on the sidelines. I think I have it right here. I'm going to pull this up because I've referenced this a few times now. I don't want to be on the player. Here we go. I'm going through the snap rates of all the wide receivers. And so I've referenced it twice, so I want to make sure I'm backing this up. Just on everything. So to put things into perspective, let's just go through the wide receivers. Brandon Ayuk got 990 snaps last year. Debo got 822. So you're talking about a difference. There's one game difference, right? Ayuk played in 19. Debo played in 18. Sure. But 822, I mean, that's 168 snaps difference, only one game difference. So that's huge. The snaps per game is so far less for Debo. And so you're talking 14 to 15 plays a game where Debo's on the sideline. Maybe a little less than that. Maybe 8 to 12, right? So there is room. That doesn't mention the plays that Ayuk, he didn't play them all. He plays a lot of them, but he didn't play them all. Like, that's there. It's built in there. So, yeah, Mr. Martinez, 100% agree with you, man. I think you're spot on. So that's Renardo Green. Let's go to Dominique Pooney. Here we go. Vince says, I think Pooney has a real shot at guard in the second half of the season. But knowing Kyle, he'll probably save him for next year unless there's an injury. Man, I feel like you went through all the stages that I also went through. Because I'm like, man, they're really, really high on Dominique Pooney. But look, you look at that depth chart. He's not with the ones. Those are locked. John Feliciano, Aaron Banks are your ones, period. I don't think Dominique Pooney is getting work with the twos yet. That's Spencer Burford and Ben Bartsch. You know, I just did the Ben Bartsch countdown video. Niners love that dude. The Niners absolutely love that dude. And I don't think that he gets playing time, especially early, over Ben Bartsch. I don't think that's going to happen. Maybe the second half of the season, but I think that this is an Aaron Banks 2.0. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I think Dominic is transitioning from tackle to guard. He's playing guard only, so that's huge. But you got Spencer Burford and Ben Bartsch right there. Right there. Right there. So I don't even think, if there's one injury at guard, I still don't think Pooney plays. If there's two injury at guards, especially early, I still don't think Pooney plays. This is a draft, develop, continuity above everything else on the offensive line. Ben Bartsch has already been with the team for a year. He's got 20-plus starts in the NFL, former fourth-round pick. They love him. Not to say they don't like Dominic Pooney, but it's a wait-and-see approach with the offensive line. They do not just throw anybody in there, which is crazy whenever we think about it. All these guys have been there for a long time. Long time. So for Dominic Pooney to beat one of those, two of those, three of those guys, I just don't see it. I really, really don't. So I think that this is the truest redshirt year of redshirt years. He came in 31 on our countdown, and I'm just sitting here saying, I think that's wrong. I really do. I think that's wrong. I think we are way too high because of the draft capital. If I had to redo it, I would be putting Dominic Pooney probably 45. He's making the 53 guaranteed. But I do not believe, not even close to believe, that Dominic Pooney is going to be getting playing time in the first 8 weeks. Very much in this year at all outside of trash time and even injuries, right? You talk about Renardo Green, Ricky Pearsall, saw some of these other guys, man, one or two injuries. This dude's starting. Dominic Pooney needs three injuries to start. Just at the guard spot. I don't think that's happening. That's just me. Now, before we keep going with these rookies, you're going to any 49ers games this year, you got to come hang out with us.
All right, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com is live. Tickets are available for all of our road trips this year. Just go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, click here for tickets. Brings you to our landing page here, and you can see all the events that we're doing. And so once you pick an event, you just click on 49ers Bucks, scroll down. You can see our pre-party. You can see our tailgate. You pick what you want to do there. And right now, the prices are as low as they're ever going to be. They only go up. So we got early bird pricing till we sell a certain number of tickets. You can check out there. You get a QR code ticketing site, which we built ourselves, which I'm so excited about. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go party with the faithful.
I like that. Look at this. Jason, what's up, Captain? He says, Pooney will be a starter. Book it. I think, yeah, he will be a starter. But this, I don't think this year. Because, like, you look at the contracts. Ben Bartsch last year of his deal, who I just talked about. You've got John Feliciano last year of his deal. Aaron Banks last year of his deal. You had three of those. Next year, Spencer Burford and Dominic Pooney are the only guys coming back from that position. And so I think that's where the starter happens in year two. But, yeah, we'll see here. Back to some more Pearsall talk. I ain't mad about this. Mr. Martinez says, I'm very curious to see if he's going to run more than pass this year. You know, Shanahan's talked about, you know, what he's going to do, more passes, whatever else. But he's just said the system's the system. We ain't changing it. It's working. I get that. The empty sets, all that stuff, I think he is. I think more passes. I still think more runs than passes, but more passes than we're used to. I think we started to see that down the stretch. But hopefully we don't get away from the run too much. I hope so. Now let's get to Malik Mustafa. This dude's so fun. Just as a person, I like listening to him talk. I like watching him play. I like reading about him. I like listening to other people talk about. Listen to Tala Nohufug, who's the nicest man in the world, talk about Malik Mustafa, our new safety.
Beefy, man. That dude is just like outlift everyone. It's like he's like a mini Dre, that how they just walk around with this presence, but twitchy, athletic, smart, and a guy that's really just about his business and gets things done. So
a mini Dre Greenlaw. Oh, yeah, you know how to swoon John Chapman. That's my thing. And special team stud out the gate. That's his path. He's making the 53-man roster. I have him 32. So I have him one spot behind Dominic Pooney. He should be way ahead because he's going to play more. We talked about how it's going to take two to three injuries for Dominic Pooney to play. It takes maybe one. Maybe one. Jair Brown and Talanoa Hufanga are the safeties. No doubt about it. But Tashawn Gibson's gone. And, you know, he just got suspended. He ain't coming back. So even whenever he signs a deal, that's where the 6 weeks start. So Tashawn Gibson ain't walking through that door. His career is done. Appreciate all that he did for us. But, man, you got George Odom. If it's early in the year, George Odom might get that playing time. So if Hufanga isn't back, you might. I mean, Nick Sorensen came out and said Odom's the most improved pass coverage guy on the team, which that's crazy to hear. But, you know, we'll take him for his word. But I'm saying, you know, 4 to 8 snaps a game, trash time, get him one series because he's going to need experience because later in the year, he's one injury away, Jair Brown or Talanoa Hufanga, from being a starter. And so you saw the playbook that was used for Jair Brown last year, who got 546 snaps. Get that dude some snaps, some work. I think that's huge. Now, again, was that rotation early Wilkes thing, Bullock's thing, Sorensen thing? We're going to find out. We're going to find out. Logan says, if Hufanga doesn't look like his old self, Mustafa might step in. Man, I agree with you. I don't think the 49ers agree on a rookie starting early. I think they would give the vet the chance, George Odom first, then, or if Hufanga doesn't come back from training camp, I think they sign another veteran safety. I could definitely see them adding another one. You got Taylor Hawkins, you got some of these other guys on the roster, but yeah, I think instead of throwing that rookie out there early, they want seasoning, they want guys in the film room, they want guys experiencing what the NFL is first, and then getting them a chance later in the year. So we'll see here. Look at this. Sandcastle. Malik is a Whitner clone. 5'10", 207. Whitner, 5'10", 208. Both lay the boom. You ain't wrong about that. I love watching. My favorite thing about his tape is just how he uses his arms. He gets some like killer hits, but he is a wrap-up specialist. And he always brings his feet. You know, I've coached linebackers, I've coached DBs, and, you know, you go through tackling circuit, and, like, one of the hardest things to get players to realize is your feet don't stop or die at contact. No. Drive through. And, you know, you're coming up with 3 to 4 drills a week just to constantly teach. Your feet come with you. Bring your feet. Run through. Tackle through. Like, the verbiage you use, all this stuff. Malik is a coaching clinic during the game, watching him wrap up. Perfect Commodore arms, right? You got the large wings, wrap up, you know, rip and wrap and drive through. Like, this dude. And it's funny because we just said Mini Dre. Hufanga just called him Mini Dre. I freaking love that dude. I'm very excited about Malik. And it makes me sad because then I'm like, is this the Hufanga replacement? Because he's in a contract year. And then I get sad on the inside. And then I think Dre Greenlaw's last year too. And I'm just like, all right, we're drinking alcohol today. which I don't like. Jason says, I think Hufanga's on a short lease. Says, oh, dude, Jason, I love you, bro. I disagree. Dude was an all pro. And he cleaned up a lot of the messes that he had last year before the injury. And as soon as Hufanga got hurt last year, that's where all those gigantic runs right off the edge, that crack toss, all those things started working. They had no bearing on the 49ers defense when Hufanga was around. Hufanga leaves, crack toss all of a sudden works against us. And everybody in the playoffs ran it to perfection against us. Hufanga's the guy. But long-term, do they sign him to a long-term deal? I don't know, man. I just don't know. And then right here, Stefan, he says, John, what do you think about the Justin Simmons comment from the Albert Breer earlier this week? Yeah, I love Justin Simmons. He's a damn good player. I would love for him to be on our team. But again, whenever you talk about these deals, who was the safety we brought in talked to, but he didn't want to stay here because he wasn't guaranteed a starter spot? Niners don't do that. Look, if Hufanga's healthy, Hufanga's starting. All pro safety the last time he played, guys. Jair Brown, he's for the future. So if you're Justin Simmons, I want every single player to make this team better. Justin Simmons makes this team better. Justin Simmons ain't going to be guaranteed a starter spot. Is he going to sign a deal to the Niners? And they say, look, if Hufanga's healthy, I'm probably going with Hufanga. Now, if Hufanga is not healthy, then that call makes sense. Yes, I want Justin Simmons. But who are you going to put on the bench? Do you want Jair Brown on the bench? I don't think that's a good use of funds. Because, I mean, you're going to have to pay, you know, $8, $9 million to get Simmons. He's waiting on the perfect spot. The safety market's being attacked very similar to the running back market where they're not getting paid at all. So that's kind of why he's there. But, man, if you're Justin Simmons, you just wait for one safety injury and you're getting paid. And guaranteed playing time. I don't think he gets that. Yes, I want him. But if I'm Justin Simmons' agent, I'm like, dude, why would you go there? You might be sitting on the bench by week three. I don't think that's going to do much for your money, for your value long term. And so, like, okay, are you going to get a long deal? Well, Justin Simmons is older. I like it. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Jason comes back, says, you know, great hits are nice, but Malik wraps up. And that excites me. Yeah, it excites me too. Definitely. But the huge disruption plays behind the backfield, not to say Malik can't do it. I'm saying Hufanga has done it for a year and a half. And they trust Hufanga deep, which is crazy, but they do. And I'm not saying they're wrong. He's developed. You go back to his rookie year, Hufanga was struggling back there. Dude, he fixed those. Last year, he fixed them. He really, really did. Vince says, you know, either safety spot could be up for grabs if they aren't performing, but Hufanga is an absolute beast, and I believe he'll be awesome. With Brown or Mustafa beside him, our secondary shape it up. Yeah, we've got a good one. I like that. I like that. Brown is a ball hawk. He would have had that pick, that tart drop. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Rayshon Jenkins. There we go. I like it. All right, let's go quick, man. I'm talking too long. I might have to break this up into another episode, which is bad because the start of Brian's question was talk about the second half, guys. Let's do one more and then I'll save these for other ones and then I'll jump to number 40. Let's talk Jacob Cowing. I love Jacob Cowing. By far one of my favorite rookie picks, by far one of the biggest values on where I rank players versus where the 49ers rank players. Jacob Cowing, Malik Mustafa were my two big hits. I really, really like this guy. Now listen to Brock, who's going to be throwing him the ball, talk about the rookie Jacob Cowing.
Yeah, he's quick. He's twitchy. I'm impressed with just, you know, the way he's acted and interacted with guys. Very smart, very respectful, and a guy that I could tell he's going to get after it in terms of knowing what his job is. And as a quarterback, I feel like, you know, you're always looking for a guy that you can trust. And so, I've seen that so far from him. I'm excited to see what he can do just in terms of taking off top and running downfield and everything once we get to it. So, I'm really excited to have him.
Now, Jacob Cowing I had at 41 on our roster countdown. And, you know, here's the thing. You're not a first-round pick. Pearsall's first-round pick, you're a fourth-round pick. That's a chasm difference. I mean, that is a huge difference. I like Jacob Cowing, and I think that he is the best Ayuk fit as a true X that we have, not named Ayuk. Do I think he's better than Ayuk? No, God, no. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying he fits that position well. And if you go watch the Texans, you saw this scheme fit a small, tiny wide receiver, Tank Dell. Not saying he's Tank Dell. He's not. I had Tank Dell several rounds ahead of where I had Jacob Cowing. But similar player, similar size, similar traits, similar route, similar hands, similar toughness. Just similar. Doesn't mean they're the same. But you look at, you know, every wide receiver is back on this roster except for Ray Ray. And I think special teams wise, I think Isaac is a closer Ray Ray replacement than anybody else on this roster. But it's hard to see anything outside of a rotational relief. Again, if I'm in charge of this roster, which thank God I'm not, it's Cowan's backing up Ayuk, Pearsall's backing up Debo, Ronnie Bell's backing up Juwan Jennings. And so you're rotating. Those are your rotation guys. If an injury happens, I don't give a damn who's hurt. Ricky Pearsall's now him, right? So Cowan's backing up Ayuk. But if Ayuk gets hurt, whoop, you move over Ricky Pearsall. Jennings gets hurt, whoop. Debo gets hurt, whoop. Like, that's just what it is. He is the duct tape, right? Flex seal. Boom. Slap it on there. It's fixed. But I think long-term, and, you know, I don't think this is going to happen, but, like, if Debo and Ayuk weren't on the roster, Cowan would be Ayuk, Pearsall would be Debo. That's what it should be. That's their strengths. Now, I do think Pearsall could play the Ayuk role, but I think Cowan would be better at it because of the over-the-top speed. He's got that dude burns people. Burns people. Right here, Big Tone, appreciate the super chat, my friend. Says, aren't our safeties arguably all strong safeties? Yes. We don't do the free safety, strong safety role anymore. The NFL, and a lot of this is Shanahan's fault, the jet sweep motion and the flipping, the passing strength has completely shifted to where you have to have all-purpose safeties. That's, I don't know if other people use that phrase, but you could call them both strong safeties, whatever else. The play design starts with, okay, we want Tayshaun Gibson back. He's our shell defender. The two types of safeties that the 49ers have. There's the shell, Fangio, protect the roof. The eraser role is the term the 49ers use. Stop big plays from turning into touchdowns. These are a little bit more chill. Be behind the play. Stop it from turning into a touchdown. Then there is the hair on fire role. That's what I call it. That's Hufanga. That's you just go blow stuff up. Reckless abandon, all that stuff. Now, obviously, still got to play under control and whatever else. But big difference. Tayshaun Gibson, chill. Stay back. Hufanga, hair on fire, blow it up. Jair Brown can play both. Hufanga can play both. Malik, I don't know if he can play both yet. I don't know if he can. But can he do the shell? We know he can do the blow up. But we've got tape of that. And so, yes, Big Toad, well said. Because they are different. They are different. Right here, Vince, he says, Cowan is great, but he's like our seventh receiving option. Yeah, okay, your big three, right? Jenny, or, you know, in no particular order. Ayuk, Debo, Jennings, Pearsall, four. Now, the question is, who's five? Chris Conley? Is it Ronnie Bell? Is it Jake Cowan? Is it Danny Gray? That's up for debate. That's a fight. The top four are settled. Ayuk, Debo, Jennings, Pearsall. Done. Those are in bold. Everybody else, it's Joker. We're in the room for aggressive expansion. Breaks the pull stick. Tryouts begin now. Who wants it? Because the Niners only keep five wide receivers sometimes, sometimes six. But I already told you there's four bold ones. And Cowan's making this roster. You're not cutting a fourth-round pick. So, if you're Danny Gray, Ronnie Bell, Chris Conley, Tay Martin, Tariq Owens, you got to go show you belong. I would say Cowan is our fifth wide receiver option, maybe sixth. Seventh, I don't have a problem with if you put Conley and Bell ahead of them. But, yeah, we'll see, man. That's a fun one. Stefan says, do the 49ers cross-train guys like Pearsall to play? Not all the time. And the problem with, how do I say this? Once training camp happens, I'll be able to tell you which wide receivers are what. I'm trying to choose my words carefully. The 49ers do really good at disguising the two wide receiver and three wide receiver sets so that what's X, what's Y, what's Z or X slot Z, however you want to, you know, determine the language there. If you don't know what to look for, it looks like they're all playing each other's spots. That's not the case. The Niners don't usually cross train. They don't. Ronnie Bell, for instance, was Debo's backup all through training camp. It's all he played until Danny Gray got hurt. When Danny Gray got hurt, they bumped out him to behind Ayuk and then shifted Conley over to Debo. Now, Conley can play them all. He has played them all. Willie Snead can play. He played multiple. So, like, yes. Sometimes, yes. In veteran examples, yes. And whenever I asked Barrows, he said, yeah, kind of Pearsall's playing them all. I don't know. Maybe they do that in Ricky Man. I've never been there at Ricky Man camp. I will be there at training camp, and I will tell you. And so I don't know. They don't usually cross-train rookies, period. That's why I don't like that Malik Mustafa is playing outside and inside. Should just be playing inside. But they like Isaac Yiadom enough that Demo's going to be playing inside, and Chase Lucas is also going to be playing inside only. So they have a little bit of depth there. So they're like, let's see where this rookie's best spot is. We'll see how that pans out. I don't like that. I do wish, how do I say this? Not that I wish all wide receivers, especially rookies, played multiple spots. That's hard as hell in this system. The 49ers wide receiver spots are as hard as the NFL exists. It's hard to play wide receiver for the 49ers. The motions, the verbiage, the rules, the alignments, complex, man. So complex. And so to learn more than one spot, that's pretty rough. It's not easy. So we'll see. Now, you look at what Pearsall did. Pearsall was particularly a slot guy. He played some outside, but almost completely slot. He played slot in high school. He played slot at Arizona. He played slot at Florida. So to move him to the outside, not saying he can't do it, because I think that he can. Let me pull up his snap breakdown. Just in his time, snaps by position. Okay, so like, for example, Ricky Pearsall in 2023, 425 slot snaps, 353 out wide. So, you know, you're talking, okay, last year, not bad, did both. Okay, you go back to 2022 at Florida, 349 slot, 169 outside. All right, man, that's a huge break. Go back to 2021, he had more out wide, so he had 389 out wide, 261 in the slot. All right, let's keep going. We got a lot of data here. In 2020, he's not with Florida. Ricky Pearsall, they've got this wrong, so that's not going to translate. He wasn't even on that team. But more slot snaps at Arizona State than he did out wide. So now you're going to move him to Z, which sometimes is in the slot, right? You know, with the motions and all that stuff. So it's there. We'll see. I'm not concerned about his mental anything. I think he can pick up the playbook, but multiple spots, yeah, maybe he's going to have to. And you've got to trust. Like, I've been in these meetings. Hey, man, we've got an injury at this spot. Can we move so-and-so from Will to Nickel? Our team would be better. And the position coach is like, nah, coach. Like, I have to tell him what to do every play. Like, that is a thing. Now, the 49ers put a premium on players of high intellect. And so we'll see where that goes. Right here, Stefan. So I would think he's more like a Cooper Kupp than slot and outside. Yeah, Cooper Kupp had 500-plus slot snaps last year and like 300 out wide. That is correct. That's what he has done in the past. But again, the 49ers only use the number three wide receiver basically never. The Rams use the number three wide receiver on every damn play. So there's different there. Cooper Kupp can make a living there. CeeDee Lamb can make a living there. And this offense, not really. So we'll have to see how that plays out. Right here, got to know every position just to play one position. Yeah, you do need to know. And this is another reason why the 49ers don't play a lot of rookies. Defensive line, guess what? That's easy. That's simple. Running back, easy. That's simple. After that, it gets hard everywhere. Linebacker, difficult. Safety, difficult. Quarter, difficult. Wide receiver, difficult. O-line, super difficult. Tight end, the most difficult. Just as far as positions and intellect and knowing what everybody does and what everybody doesn't do, and quarterback, obviously. Yeah. I left off quarterback there, but that I thought that one for whatever. All right. That was fun. We'll continue. I'll expand on these notes. And so next solo dolo episode, I'll do Isaac Garrido, Jared Kingston, Tatum Bethune, Evan Anderson, Mr. Anderson. Evan Anderson is playing for this football team. I don't know if you've caught this. When this video is over, go watch my countdown video of Evan Anderson. Please, please just type in Evan Anderson countdown. It pulls up. I hope it pulls up. go watch it. I could not be any higher on that man than I. He is playing for this team this year early. We'll do the whole episode later. Now, before we jump into our nostalgia series, if you want to see the 49ers play the opening game against the New York football Jets, I don't think that works. I think it's just football Giants, but whatever. We're giving away two tickets. All you got to do is head to the49ersrush.com. You can use the direct link in the description of this podcast and or video. It's $20 per entry, or you can get three entries for $50 if you want the value. We will be doing... The winner will announce live on August 19th, three weeks before the game. So you can plan your game, experience all that stuff. These are club seats, expensive seats. I don't want to tell you how much they're going for right now. Hoping the price goes down, so, but that's okay. We want to create an experience. That's the whole idea behind that. So, yeah, if you want a chance at that, head over the49ersrush.com. I have the direct link in the description of this video and or audio podcast, however you are consuming this craziness. Now, oh, this one's special to me, guys. This one is special to me. Who is the best number 40 in 49ers history? Chubby Little, man, I need to go back and look. I guess that would be 94. Yeah, 13. I was 14 years old. 14-year-old John Chapman changed his number from 54 to 40. Yeah, I had to change back to 54 later, but that's okay. Because of the great bar none, William Floyd. Love that dude. Now, he's not the best number 40 ever, but in my middle school life, William Floyd was very important to me. I love the attitude that he played with and just how physical he was. I didn't play like that, but I felt like I played like that. So best number 40 all time. Couple miscellaneous. Austin Bryant, one of the most recent, and Anton Exum. Now, there are a lot of very notable players in 49ers history. Johnny Jackson, he was a cornerback, fifth rounder out of Houston from 89 to 92. So, for 4 years, he played a little bit, three interceptions, 10 starts. He's deep Texas. He's from Harlington, Texas. It's almost like Mexico, which is awesome. Fred Beasley. There we go. Stefan, I said Fred Beasley. My father said Ken Willard. Your dad is correct, but there are no wrong answers here. And Stefan says, that's my age, 34. Yeah, Fred Beasley, 1998 to 2005. He was a fullback, sixth rounder. Fullback from Auburn. He had one Pro Bowl season, 8 years with the 49ers. Played for a long time, 114 games. I love me some Fred Beasley, baby. Listen to the guys he blocked for. Charlie Gardner, Garrison Hurst, Kevin Barlow, even Frank Gore's rookie year, he was his fullback. Like, that is Gardner, Hurst, Barlow, Gore. Whew, that's a lineup, man. Five playoff starts. And he was a three-time state champ in the decathlon. Doing research, I never knew this. Fred Beasley, Auburn, plowed over now coach Kirby Smart, who played for Georgia, in one of the biggest wins, Auburn over Georgia. It was a close game back and forth. I started reading about it, started scrolling through some YouTube clips, and I was like, oh, this means nothing to anybody but me, but yeah, Fred Beasley, fun player. 8 years, a long time, man. So that's awesome. Then we got William Barnum, right? He would do the Omega thing in the end zone. He was the first rounder from Florida State. I don't like Florida State, but I love their uniforms. The last fullback ever drafted in the first round of the NFL. Little trivia question there. He was from 94 to 97. Obviously the Super Bowl run in 94 was a huge member of that. My favorite player growing up for a short period of time. Now, he played 90 games in 4 years, 16 touchdowns as a fullback, but had 9 fumbles. That's a negative. I want to, you know, put it all out there. The 1994 playoffs, he took off. Dude had 5 total touchdowns in that playoff run. 5. 0 fumbles. Scored 3 touchdowns versus the Bears in that 94 divisional round. First rookie ever to score 3 touchdowns in a playoff game. After that, he was decent, but injuries started, tore his knee up in 1995, never was really elite ever again. And you know, you just look at the 90s to now, ACLs are different now. Hufanga's career would have been almost over after what happened. Now, missed second half of the season, you come back and now you play. His son is currently the safety for Florida State, which is really, really cool. So yeah, that's William Floyd. Gosh, I love that dude. Now we've got 3 more. Number 3, Wilbert Jackson, 74 to 79. He was a running back, fullback, a lot of fullbacks at 40. First rounder from Alabama, number 9 overall out of the draft. He's the first black player ever offered scholarship at Alabama. This is in the 70s. It's not even that long ago. Alabama is a disaster. I've said this in the past. Don't go there. If you live in Alabama, I'm sorry. Go away. Go somewhere else. That place. Oh, yeah. Again, I think I told this story, but you know, I grew up in Dallas-Fort Worth. My dad lived in Atlanta. So every summer I would go back and forth, and whenever I was old enough to drive, I would fill up in Mississippi so that I could drive through Alabama without putting my foot on Alabama territory, which is like, whatever, it's petty, but I'm petty. Wilbert Jackson, Sporting News Rookie of the Year, all NFL rookie team, 5 years with the Niners. He had close to 3,000 yards rushing and 13 touchdowns. The team traded for OJ Simpson after Wilbert left. Yikes. Not good. Not good. Oh, Paul, what's up, my friend? Look at this. He's saying happy 4th of July to everyone. He's not even from here, but man, you are the closest brother I know, and I appreciate you. Yeah, the residency hat. Hey, if you buy a residency hat, use promo code SFBreezy. Save yourself some money. Support Wayne in the meantime. That's what's up. That's what's up. So let's see here. That's Wilbert Jackson. Now we got Abe Woodson and then Ken Willard. Abe Woodson was a stud. 58 to 64. He was a cornerback slash returner, predominantly a returner. Second round pick, number 15 overall from Illinois. Isn't that crazy? Number 15 overall used to be a second rounder. He came to play football after fulfilling his military commitment. What's up? July 4th reference. 5 Pro Bowls, 2 All Pros with the Niners, but they were almost all as returner. By far one of the best returners in the history of the NFL. 7 years, 89 games played with the Niners, led the NFL in punt return yards and kickoff return yards. Dude was a beast. Had returns of 105 yards, 103 yards, still 4th all time in yards per kickoff return. Dude's one of the best to ever do it. Now, they even used him on offense. He got rush attempts, receiving, got some receptions, all that stuff. What's it called? Pro Football Research Association named him to the Hall of Very Good in 2021. This is basically a group that started like, okay, these guys are never going to make the Hall of Fame, but like, let's do a tier down. These guys don't belong in the Hall of Fame, but let's do a Hall of Very Good, which I love. And I think that this is important. He made it there in 2021. And, you know, I just think he's awesome. And then after football, he served as a prison minister. Good Lord. Talk about just like, this dude's incredible on and off the field. So, you know, salute And thank you for your service to my man, Abe Woodson, just everything that he did for the 49ers, for the country, and for people down on their luck and struggling. And never give up hope on people. I love that. But the best number 40 of all time in 49ers history. No, Dave, we already did William Floyd. I go by the AV scale, the approximated value scale that Pro Football Reference goes out. And so, like, for example, William Floyd had a 19 AV scale for the Niners. Kid Willard had a 71. I mean, three times greater with change on top of that. Kid Willard, 1965 to 73, before my time. Okay. I had a ball learning about this dude. Fullback slash running back. First round pick, number two overall from North Carolina. Okay. Number two overall. Drafted ahead of Dick Butkus, Gale Sayers, and Joe Namath. Like, that should tell you something. He turned down $100,000, this is back in 65, to play for the Boston Red Sox. So already, man after my own heart, I hate all of Boston sports with everything I've ever had inside me. Screw Boston. I hate Boston. So turning down Boston Red Sox, that's huge. Led the ACC in home runs twice at North Carolina. Still has the longest home run in North Carolina history. 525-foot home run. That is a ways. But back to football. Four-time Pro Bowler. Runner-up for Rookie of the Year. Gale Sayers won it. He was second. Third place went to Dick Butkus. So, like, he's right there, you know, with these legends. Now, Gale Sayers and Dick Butkus, amazing. I'm not trying to say they're not. But, like, you go look at Gale Sayers and, like, who his competition at Chicago is, it's a little different. Throwing a little shade here. Niners greats are better than anybody else's greats. That's why Ken Willard, who's amazing and is a Niners great, but not retired, not whatever. It's just different. 9 years with the 49ers, just under 6,000 total rush yards, never had a 1,000-yard rush season, did have 43 fumbles in his career with the Niners, which is ridiculous. 273 receptions, which is insane, 61 touchdowns, only four playoff games. The Niners were bad for a long time before Bill Walsh. Playoff contention was not who we were. Just wasn't. But he was the NFL active leader in rush yards for a very short time till O.J. Simpson passed him. So O.J. made his way into two different people's mentions in today's episode, and that bothers me. But Ken Willard, amazing, amazing player. Man. So many greats that I didn't know about. And I really do hope that, you know, some people enjoy this. Steven says, shout out to Dave Rinaldi for guessing it. Yeah, incredible. Ken Willard. And I apologize for not knowing more about him. And so that's kind of the purpose of this. Look to the past, look to the future, constantly stay in that tension. But yeah, the best number 40. Man, what a fun show. I hope you guys had a good time. I'm smiling. Now it's time to go eat a ridiculous amount of food and alcohol, watch some fireworks, have a good time, celebrate with people. Hopefully you guys have a great time as well. And if you are somebody that maybe doesn't have people, and doesn't have people to share with, just know you are loved, you are cared for, and man, reach out. Shoot me an email. I'd love to have a conversation to talk about whatever it is you want to talk about. So if you need somebody to talk to, whatever, 49ersRushPodcast@gmail.com. We're all about community here, and just know you are valued. You are incredible. Holidays are hard for a lot of people, especially those who have lost loved ones, especially to service and all those things. But just know, well, we love you guys. You guys are the best. Thanks for letting me do this. Very lucky. Till next time, stay strong, faithful.
All right, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com is live. Tickets are available for all of our road trips this year. Just go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, click here for tickets.
brings you to our landing page here, and you can see all the events that we're doing. And so once you pick an event, you just click on 49ers Bucks, scroll down. You can see our pre-party. You can see our tailgate. You pick what you want to do there. And right now, the prices are as low as they're ever going to be. They only go up. So we got early bird pricing till we sell a certain number of tickets. You can check out there. You get a QR code ticketing site, which we built ourselves, which I'm so excited about. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go party with the faithful.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.